deal with the two witnesses in Revelation 11, but that's what we're going to deal with. But we have to ease into this thing. And that's what I'm planning on doing, is going really slow, really slow. I'm not going to try to rush. I'm going to go so far and then I'm going to stop. And I think that's the best way to do it. You can give too much at one time. And sometimes you give folks a little bit too much to think about at once. That's the way I am. Especially if I got one thing I don't know and then I start listening to that and you tell me nine other things, I'm just still back here at this one thing. That's how my mind works. So I just assume everybody else's works that way. But anyway, it helps you deal a little bit slower. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to begin tonight with kind of a series on the two witnesses of Revelations chapter 11. Now, if you're looking for a difference, the difference is going to be, if you've seen that movie Left Behind, they put the two witnesses in the tribulation period. After Jesus comes, you have two witnesses. They take that literal and they put that in the tribulation period. We're not going to do that. That's not what we're going to do. It's going to be different, and you'll see that as we get into the text tonight. Now, there's three truths that we've established in these Sunday night services of looking at prophecy. There's three truths that we've established. I want to remind you of them, and then I will move on into tonight's study out of actually Revelations 10 is where we're going to be at. Three truths we've established. Truth number one, no salvation after the rapture. Once Jesus comes, I believe the door is shut. And I give you 10 reasons why I believe that to be true. I'm not going to reteach it. I'm just going to remind you of these three truths. No salvation after the tribulation period. We give you two parables, two examples, two seals, two times, and I can't remember what the two responses that's given in the tribulation out of the book of Revelation. So 10 reasons. If you've not heard those, then you'll have to get the CDs for those because I don't got time to go through it. Number two, in the book of Daniel chapter 9, we looked at Daniel's 70-week prophecy. And if you haven't heard that, you need to get the CD of that and listen to that too, because really, the entire futurist view that the Antichrist is coming in the future, 7-year tribulation, is all based on Daniel 9. It's all based there. So, number two, there's no gap in Daniel chapter 9. That prophecy is a prophecy, and I'm going to say this one more time, about the Messiah. That's the subject of the whole prophecy. What it does is it brings you right down to the 69th week. It brings you right down to the ministry of the Messiah. Immediately following the 69th week comes what week? The 70th week. It follows immediately after that. All the time frame in that prophecy runs concurrent. There's no gap. And what is done with that is they pluck the 70th week off and say, now wait a minute, this week hadn't happened yet. By the way, this is a tribulation down here. There's no reason to put a gap there if the Scriptures don't put one there. The time runs one right after the other. It's a prophecy about the Messiah. There's no mention of an Antichrist in that text. There's no text of Scripture that says that anywhere, that there will be an Antichrist make a covenant with Israel, other than that text. And you have to twist that to make that fit that. I'm telling you tonight, that whole prophecy in Daniel 9 is about the Messiah, the Lord Jesus. It was He that confirmed the covenant on the cross of Calvary. It was He that caused the sacrifices and oblations to cease. Daniel's 70th week was the week of the ministry of the Messiah, not about an Antichrist. Not going to re-preach that neither, though I'd like to. Number three, that's the second truth. First one, no salvation after the trib. No gap in Daniel 9. Remember those two. If you haven't heard those messages, if you got a computer, you can get them off sermon audio. If you don't, then we can get you a copy of them here. Number three, third truth, no Antichrist revealed, no rapture. No Antichrist revealed, no rapture. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says that day is not going to come until what? The man of sin be revealed. So if the man of sin's not already here, if the little horn of Daniel is not already here, if the beast of Revelation 13 is not already here, then Jesus couldn't come. I'm going to tell you tonight, the Bible pinpoints the exact time frame that he would come on the scene. The exact time frame that he would come on the scene. And it gives him a description, and it fits only one office and one person, and you'll have to get that CD too. So you all remember those three things? I want you to remember them, keep them in your mind, because it's important coming into the section that we're coming into. Okay? All right, let's begin. Chapter 8, we begin with the chapter 8 is the seventh seal. Does everybody see that? Revelations chapter 8, look at verse 1. And when he had opened the what seal? The seventh seal. Remember the seven sealed book, you know? Remember the seven sealed book? We were introduced to that, introduced this book in chapter 5. It's a, remember their books was made in a scroll form? They take candle wax and put a seal on it, see? So this book has how many seals? Seven seals. Actually, it's the future of the saved. And before the Lord's kingdom is going to be set up, these events have to take place. And many of the events, actually the first five seals, as I said, is already happening. Wars and rumors of wars, famines, sickness, pestilence, disease, death, other than by natural causes, false religion, persecution of the saved. Those are happening. We're waiting on the sixth seal, which is the what, remember? It's the rapture of the saved. Always say rapture of the saved. Okay? The seventh seal is a tribulation period on the lost. The saved go out at the sixth seal, thank God. Saved go out to sixth. The seventh seal is the tribulation on the lost. Now, let me tell you a little something about the seventh seal. In Revelation 8, it's revealed as trumpet judgments. The seventh seal is divided into seven trumpets. If you would read chapter 8, it'll tell you about an angel will come and he'll blow a trumpet and a judgment will fall. A plague will fall. Another second angel come, blow a trumpet, another plague falls. See, it's a tribulation. It shows a tribulation that falls. And it's trumpet judgments. Now, I'm going to show you something, and I don't want you to get your trumpets confused. Don't get your trumpets confused. I listened to a preacher the other day that had his trumpets confused. And here's what I want to show you. Turn with me, keep your place here, and turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll go slow, and we'll go so long, and we'll stop, then we'll come back and start again next week. Not going to get in a hurry. So we'll take our time. Take our time. Got to lay the foundation, and then we'll go into it. I think this is one of the most important parts, because I think it'll link everything together. I really do. 1 Corinthians 15, everyone here tonight knows this verse of Scripture. You hear it all the time at funeral services and things. Verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. 1 Corinthians 15:51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. You know what that means? We're not all going to die. You know, it may be that everyone in this room may never die on this earth. That could very well be true. Jesus could come today or tonight. He could come. And that's a mystery. There's some people that's never going to experience physical death. And if Jesus would come tonight, we wouldn't. Wouldn't it be wonderful? We just go right to be with Him. We shall not all sleep, but we're all going to get changed. We're not going to go like we are. Ain't you glad? This old sinful body's not going there to heaven. We're going to get a new body. Glorified body. Brother Denver, one without a sinful nature in it. One that never gets old, one that never experiences any pain, one that don't have any evil thoughts, one that will be like Christ. Look at 1 John 3 says, when we see Him, we'll be like Him. Isn't that going to be awesome? An old hell-bound sinners such as we are, well, it will be made like Christ. That's God's plan, to conform us to the image of His Son. He loved His Son so much, He's going to make a multitude of people like His Son. See? Let's read on. In a moment, verse 52, in a twinkling of an eye, you see the word last trump? At the last trump. Now, people get their trumpets confused, and they'll run down to Revelation chapter 9 and say, right here's the last, the seventh trump. Well, the trumpet in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52, is the same trumpet in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Y'all read 1 Thessalonians 4? He's coming with the shout, the voice of the archangel and the... It's a trumpet to call the saved together. Same trumpet. Don't get your trumpets confused. See, this trumpet here is the trumpet for the saved. It's just like in the Old Testament, the Israelites had two silver trumpets. And you know, when they wanted to call an assembly of the people together, you know, they blowed those trumpets and all Israel gathered together. Well, I'm going to tell you what, folks. We're going to come today. The Lord's going to do that on a worldwide scale. He's going to blow the trumpet. He's going to come with a shout and he's going to get his people out of here. All God's people said. So don't get this trumpet confused with the trumpets in Revelations. The trumpets in Revelations are trumpet judgments of the lost. We went out in chapter 7. We went out with the trumpet for the saved in chapter 7. Chapter 8 and 9 is trumpet judgments for the lost. So don't confuse the trumpets. It's 1 Corinthians 15 is the last call, the last trumpet for the saved. And then in Revelations 8 and 9, those trumpets just for the lost. So don't get those confused, because a lot of folks do. Okay? All right. Now we're looking at all these trumpet judgments, all this wrath in chapter 8 and chapter 9. You can read those at home. You can see all the plagues that falls here that is falling. It's describing, now listen to me, it's describing the destruction of this earth in chapter 8 and 9. Well, we're going through all of that and we're seeing all those things begin to happen. And then we come to chapter 10 and it stops. I mean, when you come down to the latter part of chapter 9, in verse 14, you have the sixth angel blows his trumpet, then you have a judgment falls, but it doesn't tell you nothing about the seventh angel. All right, now I want you to get this and listen real close to this. The seventh seal is divided into seven trumpets. Each one of them is a representative of a certain judgment, plague that falls on the earth. Kind of reminds you of what the Lord did in Egypt, except on a worldwide and a much greater scale. He dropped all those plagues upon the Egyptians. He's going to do the same thing in the tribulation on the lost. He's going to plague the earth. He's going to bring, and that's described for you in chapter 8 and 9. But when you come to the end of chapter 9, it don't tell you about the seventh trumpet. It stops there. And it's not going to tell you in detail about the seventh trumpet. It sums it up a little bit in chapter 11, but it's not going to tell you about the seven other judgments that is to come till chapter 16. There's a pause. And there's a change of books in chapter 10. So we're going through all this judgments in chapter 8 and 9. The seventh trumpet. All right, let me go ahead and give you this. I forgot to. The seventh seal is divided into seven trumpets. Then when you come to the seventh trumpet, it's divided into seven bowls. And when you turn to Revelation 16, instead of blowing trumpets, you have an angel come with a bowl full of wrath. It's figurative language. And he pours out his bowl and a judgment falls. And another angel comes with his bowl and pours it out. So let's do that again. Seventh seal divided into seven trumpets. And then the seventh trumpet is divided into seven bowls. We're told about the first six trumpets in Revelations 8 and 9. But when we come to chapter 10, we stop. It stops telling you about it and moves on to a different subject. And you got to see this change. You got to see this change. There's a change of books. Our attention is drawn off the seven sealed book to a little open book. To a little open book. Okay? All right. Now, we're going to go through chapter 10 tonight. Ever how long that takes. And it shouldn't take too long. We're going to look at chapter 10. And I want you to see the change of books. It's important that you see that. It's important that you see there's a change. He stopped telling you about the trib, the judgment. I mean, all this judgment's falling. Now, he stops telling you about it for now. He's going to finish it later. But now he's got something else he wants to show you. Now, I'm going to tell you just for your interest, I'm going to tell you what he's going to show you. What he's going to do in chapter 11 and 12 and 13, is he's going to show you why the tribulation is so bad. And you know why it's going to be so bad? Chapter 11, because of the way the world has treated God's witnesses. Chapter 12 is a picture of the Lord's kingdom. It describes the Lord's kingdom. And you see how the Lord's kingdom was persecuted here on the earth in chapter 12. When you go into chapter 13, it reveals to you Satan's kingdom here on earth. And you know what you see in chapter 13? How he persecuted the Lord's kingdom. That's the common theme in 11 and 12 and 13. He's telling you how the world treated God's people and his kingdom. That's what he shows you. And folks, that's why the tribulation period is going to be so bad. Look at Revelations chapter 16. It mentions it in this text too, I believe. Except it just stops to tell you in a few verses in this chapter 16. It tells you in three chapters, 11, 12, and 13, why it's so bad. Verse 4, and the third angel poured out his vial. You see, a vial is a bowl. See, now we're looking at chapter 16. It tells you about the last part of the trib. The third angel poured out his vial upon the waters and the fountains of waters, and they become blood. All the water is going to be turned to blood. You remember in Egypt, they turned the Nile to blood. They're going to turn all the waters to blood in the trib. And see, Revelation 16 commences back up with him telling you about the trib. See, I just want you to see when we're in 10, 11, we're in a pause. He's telling you a different story. And what he's doing in 11, 12, and 13 is he's telling you why it's so bad. Well, he does that here in Revelation 16 on a smaller scale. Verse 5. And I heard an angel of the water say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and which shall be, because thou hast judged this, for they have shed the blood of the saints and the blood of the prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. I'm telling you, folks, God Almighty, when He takes His people out, He will drop His wrath that's been building up for century after century upon this earth, and He will destroy it in the tribulation period. He is angry. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And that's why the Scriptures depict those that don't go out in the sixth seal as mourning because of the judgment that's about to come. They've sat in churches just like you, and they've heard these things, but they never prepared themselves. They're like the five foolish virgins. They knew the bridegroom was coming, but they never put the oil in their lamp. They never got ready for it. And he come in a day when it wasn't expected, and they weren't ready. All right, chapter 10. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud. A rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet pillars of fire. I think verse 1, the word angel in the Greek just simply means a messenger. It's a messenger comes down. Revelations 2 and 3, you have the same word used. In the messages to the seven churches, to the angel of the church of Ephesus, to the angel of the church of Philadelphia. It's not talking about an angel, flying angel, or that we're talking like Gabriel. It's talking about the pastors. Now, I'd like for you to call me the angel of the church of Bancroft, if you like. I'm a messenger here, see. I'm just a messenger. That's all I really am, is just a messenger. And share with you the things that the Lord has in His Word. So, this is the idea of that. This is an angel, or a messenger, that comes down from heaven. And from the description, it tells you who he is. It says his face is as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And when you look at Revelations chapter 1, that's a description of Jesus Christ. That's how he's depicted in Revelations. His countenance is like the sun, and his feet is like polished brass fire. That's how he's depicted in Revelations 1. You need, of course, to remember that, so it's a picture of him. Okay? Now, verse 2, he has in his hand a what? Notice what he has. Got a little open book. That's a different book. You got the seven sealed book, but now here's a little open book. You got to get the transition. We're moving. When you change books, you're changing subjects. That's why we hold off on telling about the. That's why he stops telling you about the tribulation, and he's changing on to another subject. You got to get that change there. You got to get that change there. Well, that's one of the reasons why that folks take chapter 11, 12, and 13 and put it in the trib. You got to realize we changed books in chapter 10. Changed books. It don't begin to tell you about the trib again till chapter 16. So there's an interruption here. And what the Lord is doing is he's telling you why the trib's so bad. Why this judgment? He's done it before in the Old Testament. He shows you the judgment and he tells you why it's happening. I'm telling you why it's happening. Why it's happening. Why it's happening is because of the way this world's treated my people. See? And the way Satan and the world has treated my kingdom. See? It's what's happening. And that's what he explains to you in 11, 12, and 13. In chapter 14, you get another picture of the rapture. Gives you a picture of the 144,000 again. And then you pick back right back up with the tribulation. Beautiful picture, but you got to get the pause. You got to get the interruption, and you got to get the change of books. And that's what's happening here in chapter 10. Everybody see it? Little open book. The message of the little open book is given in chapter 11. And it tells you about the two witnesses in that message. But we're not in the seven sealed book right now. You got to get the change of books. Everybody say change of books. Change of books. It's very important that you get that. All right. Now, verse 2, and he had in his hand a little open book, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth. And he cried with a loud voice as a what roars? As a lion. Another evidence talking about Christ. Revelations 5, he's called the lion of the tribe of Judah. See? So his description is, this is Jesus. And he's got his feet on the earth, you see, because the book of Ephesians says he's placed all things under his feet. See, it's a picture of Christ. Revelations 1:1 says that he sent and signified this book by John. Okay? The word signified means to give by a sign or a picture. It's filled with figurative language. It's filled with it. And I will tell you, it'll tell you what the pictures are in it, and you'll be able to see the pictures in it. Okay? Let's read on. So he cried with a loud voice as when a lion roars, and when he cried, the seven thunders uttered their voice. Now, these seven thunders are the seven last plagues. And they're not going to be given to us till what chapter? Chapter 16. So here he's the seven thunders, which is a picture. Thunder is a picture of something that's coming, doesn't it? It's a picture of what's. And when you hear thunder, it's a sign that the storm of God's wrath is coming. So the seven thunders utter their voice, and he tells him in verse 4, don't write those things yet. Don't write them, John. That's what it says. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. Now, why wasn't he to write them at this time? Well, he was going to write them in Revelation 16, but right now he has another subject to show you. He has another lesson to show you. He's going to explain why the tribulation's so bad. So, not only do we change books, but he's not to write about what the seven thunders that uttered their voice, which is a picture of coming judgment. He's going to finish that in chapter 16. So everybody see the change? You can see clearly we stopped talking about the trib at the end of chapter 9, and now we're on to this little open book. Little open book. Not the seven sealed book. Verse 5, and the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and he sware by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and things that are in the earth, and the things that are in the sea, and the things which are therein, and there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. Won't be finished till the seventh angel sounds. That ain't till chapter 16, though. Ain't going to tell you about a detailed account of that yet. Verse 8. And the voice which I heard from heaven said, go and take the little open book which is open in the hand of the angel, which is standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went to the angel and he said, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up. Take it and eat it up. And it shall make thy belly bitter. Why will it make his belly bitter? It's a tough message. It's a message of the way that the Lord's people were treated, see. God's word's sweet to the taste, but it was bitter to his belly because it's kind of a bittersweet. You know, a lot of the messages I preach here are bittersweet. Some of them are messages of judgment and things, but some of them are real sweet, but bittersweet, and that's the way this message is. So he said, I took the little book out of the angel's hand, and I ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey, and as soon as I'd eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said, thou must prophesy again before many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings. Okay, let's turn to the book of Ezekiel. Turn to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 2. All I'm giving you folks tonight's an introduction, and then I'm going to stop. Don't get excited, I'm not done yet, but I'm still introducting. Book of Revelations, or I'm sorry, the book of Ezekiel, I believe it is, chapter 2. The role or the scroll. What did I do with that piece of paper? That's okay. The scroll. Thank you, son. Appreciate that. John goes and gets this little book. You know what he does with it? He eats it. He eats it. You say, is that little? No, it's figurative. It's just like what you talk about. I reading a book, you might say, I devoured the book. You're taking it in. You're taking it inside, see? It's just figuratively. And you have it in the Old Testament. Ezekiel, listen to it. Verse 7 of Ezekiel 2. Thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a most rebellious. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto you. Be not thou rebellious, like unto the rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. That's talking about God's word. And when I looked, behold, a hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book. Here you have the same thing again. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without. And there was written therein lamentations, mourning, and woe. Moreover, chapter 3, verse 1, moreover, he said unto me, son of man, eat that shall find us, eat this roll, and go and speak unto the house of Israel. See the picture? This is a message from God. He says, Ezekiel, you eat it, and then you go tell my people what it says. It's what you're supposed to do. You don't want to know, honestly, that's what preachers are supposed to do today. In Ezekiel? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That is indeed the bitter part. And then you see the bitter part would be the judgment upon them. Now let's turn back to Revelations now. That is indeed the bitter part. Okay, so you devour the book and then you share the message. Again, that's what preachers are supposed to do. Folks, preachers are not supposed to be entertainers. I mean, seriously, that's what, I guess that's what a lot of folks want. Preachers are supposed to eat the Word of God and then share it with God's people. Feed the flock. Feed the flock. Desire the sincere milk of the Word that ye may grow thereby. How you grow as a Christian is by devouring and getting the Word and being taught the Word, see. God's house in Scripture is called the pillar and the ground of the truth. It's where you come and you're taught the Word. That's why the Lord established it, see. To be the place where that holds up His Word, see. That's what it's supposed to be all about. So John's told to do the same thing Ezekiel was told to do. He was told to devour this book up. So you see the interruption? So you see in chapter 10 how we've changed books. And now were on the little open book. And the message, John's done ate it. And guess what he's going to do in chapter 11? He's going to share the message of it. He's going to tell you what it was. He stopped telling you about the tribulation. He stopped telling you about it. And he's moved on to another subject. And you just need to really see that pause, because he's going to start next week and telling you about the witnesses in chapter 11. Now, here's the difference. If you really want to know, here's the difference. Most take chapter 11 and 12. I've checked it out before I come. Chapter 11 and 12 and 13. And they put that out in the future after the rapture and the tribulation. They put these two witnesses that are witnessing for Christ in the tribulation. Now, what was the first thing I told you to remember tonight when I began the message? 10 reasons why there's no people saved in the trib. So you can see there's a contradiction, a clear contradiction there. 10 reasons why his witnesses goes out at the sixth seal. They go out there. So chapter 11, chapter 13 is where you have the number 666 and the Antichrist, the beast, the two beasts. They put that. That's put in the tribulation. That's not happened yet either. What's wrong with that? 2 Thessalonians 2 said Jesus can't come till the man's sins revealed. So there's clear problems with that. That's all. There's clear problems with that. You say, well, how are you going to look at 11, 12, and 13? They're historic. They're historic. It's showing you history on the earth, how God's witness was retreated. And chapter 11, it shows you the persecution of God's people. In chapter 12, it shows you the persecution of God's people. Let's look at chapter 12 and then we'll move on. Verse 17. And the dragon. Now, who's the dragon in Revelation 12? Now, what kind of language are we using? It's figurative. It's figurative. It's the dragon in the con. It's Satan. It's the devil. He's depicted in the text. He's depicted in the earlier chapter, in the earlier part of chapter 12. He's pictured as you have a woman that's pregnant. She's getting ready to. Well, let's go ahead and look at that. We got a second here. Verse 1, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, moon, and her feet, and her had a crown of 12 stars, picture of Israel. And she was with child, and she travailed in birth, pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns. We'll show you what those picture at a later time. His tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven, and cast him down to the earth, which is a picture of Satan's fall. And the dragon stood before the woman ready to devour her child as soon as it was born. Now, what child come through Israel? Jesus. Oh, the old devil wanted to stop that from it. You know, he wanted to stop that all through the Old Testament. You've seen there was a Christ line that came down the Messiah. He tried to cut that line time and time again in the Old Testament. Never could do it. The Lord never did allow it. Through Abraham, through David, came Messiah Jesus. The one that would come and pay the sin debt of his people and set up a kingdom that would last forever. Never was able to stop it. So that's what this is a picture. Everybody see that picture? Watch it now. And she brought forth a man-child. That's Israel, who was to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. Now, who is that guy? Jesus. See. Is that historic? Sure is. Sure is. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Now who's that? It's Jesus. You see the picture? See the picture of the of Master? Well, it shows you a picture of his kingdom here in Revelation. Jesus' kingdom. But now look at verse 17. The dragon was wroth with the woman. Who's the woman? Now I want you to watch this. This is free. I want you to notice how Israel's described in Revelations 12 and verse 17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. Who are those people? Well, they're the people that keep the commandments of God and they have the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's who the seed of Israel is. They've trusted the Messiah as their Savior. So it says they have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And it also says they do what? They seek to keep His commands. They do that because they love Him. Jesus said, if you love Me. And when He saves them, folks, He's going to give them a new birth. He's going to write His laws on their heart. And they're going to want to obey His commandments. You know, it's not a grievous thing for me to keep the Lord's commandments, is it you? I want to. I don't always do it, but I sure do. The very depths of my heart, I sure do want to. That's why I look forward to getting a new body when I will, see? But there is that there. That happened the day I was saved. New birth, see? See, you know who the seed of Israel is. You know how the devil knows them? It says he makes war with them. Everybody see he makes war with them? You know how he knows who they are? Well, they wear a big 3-foot cross around their neck and a shirt that says, I'm a Christian on the back, flashing letters on it. No, he knows who God's people is because they have a profession of faith in Jesus Christ and they keep His commands. That's how he knows them. That's how he knows God's people. See? So it's a story. Revelation 12, you see how God's people were treated. Chapter 11, you see how God's people were treated. Revelation 13, you see the exact same thing. And I'm not going to get into that chapter. But chapter 13 deals with the beast, Satan's political power and his religious power. And it would persecute God's people. The book of Daniel says that there will come a little horn that will have a great big mouth and make great claims about itself. And says that it would wear out the saints of God and make war against the people of God. And it sure did. It sure did. And we'll deal with that later. I'm just going to tell you. So 11, 12, and 13 are historic. It's replaying for you how His witnesses were treated, how His kingdom was treated in chapter 12, and what Satan's kingdom in chapter 13. The key in each one of those chapters is the persecution of God's people. And that's why the tribulation is going to be so bad. That's why in Revelation 6 it says the great day of His wrath has come. It's not a time of salvation after Jesus comes. It's today's the day of salvation. Once the King comes, that's it. Okay, so that's going to be the difference. Okay, we're going to stop right there. I'm going to leave you hanging until next Sunday. And we'll get into Revelations chapter 11 next week. And we'll look at the two witnesses. If you would, keep your overview in your Bibles. Jeremy done that. Y'all think I did that? No, everybody in the house knew I didn't do that. But keep that. That's just a quick little overview. I'm going to go over that with you and give that to you. Okay? I'll show you the differences as I go through it. You see, we think Revelation 7 is the rapture. We think Revelation 4 is just John going up to heaven. Most think Revelation 4 is the rapture. So I'm going to show you all that at a later time. So you keep that. Next Sunday, we'll look at the, Lord willing, if we're here, we'll look at the two witnesses. So I've laid the foundation. We'll deal with that next week. Let's all stand.